The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name is Kendra, and I'm from Sassoon City, California, and originally from Oklahoma, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 271 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Okay. Actually, for the first time in a long time, I actually ran back-to-back, did back-to-back runs, and my body's saying, oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Mr. Scopa. And I got out there today, too, and it's been 6 days post-marathon.
Yep.
My legs still felt a little weak. I don't know. It's kind of strange. First day I've run since.
Took you a while to get going. Yeah. Once you got going, you're okay.
So, Mike, I have a shout-out today, as I usually do, and it is to our buddy and Mickey Miler, Pamela Potter-Frost, who did the Cheshire Half Marathon. And then she also posted that she signed up for Team Achilles. So I believe they are the group. I think I saw them at the Boston Marathon, and I've seen them before. They guide runners, and we had Tim Sullivan on the show talking about that too. They guide runners who are sight impaired, and so Pamela's a super duper nice person anyway, and a Mickey Miler, and it's great. We'd love to hear about her experiences doing that.
Good for you, Pam.
Yeah.
We are doing questions, and so Michelle, would you do the honor of reading the first question?
Sure. It's from Lauren Pullman. And she wants to know, why do you think the Avengers Half Marathon hasn't sold out with how fast the rest of the Run Disney races have sold out? Great question. What do you think, Michael?
Well, we had talked with a few people a few episodes ago, Eddie McCoy and Kimberly Torres-Markey. And Eddie had a good point. I kind of subscribe to his theory that usually the races that sell out the quickest are the ones that are involved with holiday weekends, like Dumbo, like Princess, like a few others. So the Avengers probably was not going to sell out because of that. I also think that a lot of people wanted to go to Wine and Dine, and a lot of people wanted to go to the East Coast, and they didn't want to go to the West Coast. I think possibly maybe the Avengers is too close to Dumbo. I mean, it's 3 months away, but I don't know. I'm really surprised that it didn't sell out, because it's the second time around, and we did the first time around, Michelle, and it was windy, and so I would think that everybody said, you know, it really wasn't a good day to run. Let's do it again. But surprise, surprise, they hadn't sold out as quickly.
I think it was really a great run. I mean, I would take the wind over the rain. I know that people who did the Wine and Dine had the rain. I'm surprised too. I really think that Star Wars has something to do with it, and that if people at least on the East Coast are choosing a race, that's kind of like the big race right now. And it's, you know, I don't know. But for me, if I had more time in my schedule, I would go back and do that race in a second, because of the holiday overlay, and I just thought it was fantastic. And it's also on my birthday, so it's fun to run a half marathon. I think there are a lot of different considerations. The prices are going up. There are more things for people to choose from. I know that for me, somebody who goes to a lot of these races, I'm being a little bit more selective. I'm not going to every race, and not every inaugural race. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, Mike, as you're responding. I'm going to just pop on my computer here and see what the percentage is today.
Well, my other theory, Michelle, is that remember when they announced Avengers, and then fairly soon right after they announced Star Wars, and we were like, oh, we just got ambushed because we had just signed up for Avengers, and we did, you know, we take care of that. So maybe those people who had signed up for Avengers last year said, you know, I think I'm going to do Star Wars this year.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it too.
So today it says 199 days away from the race. It's 72% sold out. So, but the Infinity Gauntlet Challenge, which is probably, I believe, the half and the 10K, is sold out. The Captain America 10K is sold out, and the Avengers 5K is sold out. So, and the kids racers are sold out. So it's just that half marathon. I think more people are opting for the challenge, and I would not be surprised if it sold out pretty quickly. I mean, you know, sold out eventually. It hasn't been quickly, but we're still 200 days away from that.
I think you're right about the challenges too.
That means my birthday is 199 days away.
That's right.
Start planning.
Better start robbing planning. Those banks. Yep. Okay, Michelle, our next question comes from Alex Johnson, who says, hey guys, like most everyone else who writes in, I love your podcast. It has helped shed some light on Run Disney World events that many may not think of and has helped me to get through some long runs this past winter. The reason I am writing, I was on Facebook on my phone yesterday, and a picture from the Run Disney page popped up in my news feed showing an updated cover photo. The picture was of Minnie, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy in front of a finish line, and the caption was something along the lines of, will you be joining us to run the Walt Disney World Marathon presented by Cigna? Limited available entries remaining, with a link following it. I thought this was odd as registration didn't open until this Wednesday. I followed the link, and from what I gathered, it was giving me the ability to sign up only for what was called the Runner's World Challenge. As I scrolled down, it only gave me the option for signing up for the Dopey Challenge. I didn't want to sign up for the entire series, so I couldn't really test it. But it all looked up to snuff in giving the ability to register, as well as buying the other add-ons like pins, bottles, and pre-race dinners. I got on Facebook this morning, and that same cover photo update is in the Run Disney news feed. But you can see that it has been edited, and the link is no longer there. Is there any light you can shed on this? With all the recent drama surrounding the signing up for these challenges and entries being sold out, I'm surprised to see another form of early entry. Maybe this is something that is well known and I am just learning about it. P.S. I just finished my first half marathon yesterday at the Kentucky Derby Mini Marathon. It rained a good bit, but I had tons of fun, and I'm already looking forward for another one to sign up for. I can't wait for the next episode. Michelle, would you like to take a shot at this one?
Sure. This is really where editing is really good, because it took us a while to get through that question. Alex, this is a great question. Now, in the past, in my recollecting of this, there have been times when some links have been put out there by Run Disney a bit prematurely. And this may have been the case for this Runner's World Challenge. There is something called the Runner's World Challenge where you can get things like race retreat and an entry to the race and some personalized coaching that Run Disney offers. I know that our friend Mark Lorenzo did it last year for certain races. It costs more money, but it guarantees you some other perks. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was offered a little bit early, because they probably want to sell that. But it looks like maybe it should have been offered on the day that the rest of the race registration opened up. Now, in terms of the limited entries available, a certain number, not very many, entries were opened up for DVC and annual pass holders recently, the week before the link went live. So, but that, you know, it didn't take up most of them. Mike, what do you think?
I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I'm kind of out of things to say about this one. I just,
what do you mean?
I don't know. I just don't know. I'm afraid to, I mean, we all speculate how things work and stuff like that. And I think that, at this point, I think I'm going to go with what you said.
Okay, I'm looking on here. I don't see, today when we're recording this, I don't see the Runner's World Challenge up there. I believe the Runner's World Challenge was only for the dopey, but I'm not sure about that for this race. So to me, it sounds like it was a mistake. And, you know, these things happen from time to time. Oh, here it is. Runner's World Challenge is for the dopey challenge, yes. So it says the Runner's World Challenge program returns. It says program returns to the dopey challenge. And it offers the best of both worlds with race experience unlike any other. It's customized training plans, connections with Runner's World experts. Runner's World is challenging you to run your best ever with the Runner's World Challenge. What you get is a membership in a 16 to 20 week training plan designed by experts and Chief Running Officer Bart Yasso. Weekly emails leading up to the event, direct access to Runner's World experts on training, nutrition, injuries, access to private online training, a copy of Runner's World Complete Book of Running, a tech shirt, a 4-month membership to Runner's World Personal Trainer, a private package pickup for a Runner's World Challenge at the Health and Fitness Expo, pre-race course strategy sessions with Runner's World experts, entrance to the pasta and the park party, exclusive pre-race work walkout to corrals, entry to the race retreat, an entry to the marathon weekend breakfast. So, oh, you get entry to race retreat Saturday and Sunday, and you get entry to the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend breakfast. So there's a lot there. And that, how much would you pay?
I would pay...
That's four races. That's the dopey.
I would pay $110.
Add $1,000 to that. So it's $1,100 for all of that. I don't know if you added it up. It probably would be close to that. What do you think?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. So so it's only for the dopey, and it looks to me that the link is live right now.
So. We are looking live.
Mm-hmm. So let me just click on that link. It's 50% for that right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like it's live, so you could do that right now. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's going to be live on 4/28 when the rest of the things. So when the day the show posts, it will be live.
Then why is
or
it
no
50%
the day
full?
2 days after the
why
show?
Why is it 50% full?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. So that's a puzzle. I don't know.
There's no DVC or annual pass.
No, I don't. And DVC and annual pass didn't take 50% of dopey.
Another question for Run Disney.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Ready for our next question?
I am ready.
All right. Hey, guys. This is from David O'Connell. Hey, guys. I love the show. It's a great extension to my Run Disney experience. I wanted to ask you if you could talk a little bit about fundraising. I'm working with two organizations. The first is the Muscular Dystrophy Association, and second, Give Kids the World Village. While both are important, and I'm more partial to MDA because I'm personally fighting muscle disease, I decided to raise money while I run Dumbo to earn my first Coast to Coast. I had a great start raising nearly $700 in just a few weeks, but since then I haven't had any increases in donation. Could you give me some tips, perhaps? Thanks again, and I hope to meet some other Mickey Milers on my next Run Disney race.
Gee, if I only knew someone who recently raised some money.
Oh, I did raise some money. I was lucky enough to raise, I don't know, $6,800-something for Spalding Rehab, and I raised over almost 6,000 last year too. I don't think I'm an expert at fundraising, but I'm going to tell you some tips, and I actually think we should have a show on this.
Okay.
So here are some tips. I think that tell everybody you know that you're running those races and you're running for a good cause. I would write a personal letter and address it personally to people who you want to reach out to. And ask them, tell them why it's important to you. In this case, David, you're fighting a similar disease, so it is very important to you. You can tell them about the good work at Give Kids the World Village. People on my team did a whole bunch of different things from, you know, you can have a partnership with Pizzeria Uno and have a night where you invite people and a portion of the proceeds go to your charity. I know that Applebee's does the same thing. Some other restaurants locally could do it. I know for me, one of the things that helped was Michael Miller and Eddie McCoy sponsored some Boston Marathon magnets that I gave out to people as enticements and thank yous. Somebody designed a special bracelet for the Mickey Milers. So, but I think that, you know, just personally telling people and keeping the word out there, what I would do is post something on my Facebook page once a week and tell people about this. And I just, you know, at work I mentioned it too, and I just kind of kept that beach ball in the air. And every time people asked about it, I said, yeah, I'm running the Boston Marathon, and this is for the cause. So I would send letters out, you know, maybe once a month to those people, and also write thank you letters when you get your donations too. That's what I would do. Did I miss anything?
No, Michelle, I think that one of the key points you made was always keeping it in front, keeping it on the surface, telling people where everywhere you go, you know, if they ask you about what you're running, you know, how you're running as well. I decided to dedicate my running to, you know, these two causes, whatever. I think if people understand that you're not just running for yourself, but you're running for others, they are more willing to give. I think that Michelle's advice on just talking it up a lot, I think that's the key. And I know it's hard to ask for money. I've done it in the past, and it's very, very hard because it's, you know, things are expensive today and everybody has their hand out. But you never know when you'd be talking with someone who may have had a family member who was impacted by something that you're running for. So good luck. And I think that $700 is really great.
Yeah. The other thing too is that one other thing that I wanted to add is that there are a lot of causes out there. And another way that I thank people is as often as I can, I try to give money to their causes, so I give money back. So, you know, that's just another way to thank people. People are running for lots of good causes, so it's tax deductible. You can remind them of that. And, yeah, good luck. I hope you do great. Well, I think we definitely should do a show on this because we have a lot of fundraising buddies who have great ideas.
I got to remember that tax deductible thing because next year it's going to come in handy. They made a little bit of a contribution to a friend of mine. Okay, anyways. Next question comes from Kim, who says, hi there, Mike and Michelle. Thanks so much for your wonderful and very informative podcast. Well, thank you, Kim. I'm hoping to be able to sign up for the Walt Disney World Marathon, my first marathon ever, when registration opens next week, which is this week. And I had a question for you. I've read on a few blog different reviews of the race that, assuming the timing works out with park opening, some of the marathon runners actually ride Expedition Everest roller coaster when they pass by it at about the halfway point of the marathon. This has got to be kind of unique in the world of 26.2, and I wanted to find out if either of you have an experience in attraction during a Run Disney event and got your take on it, if it's even a good idea to stop running in order to experience a thrill ride due to possible tummy troubles, etc. Keep up the great work, and congratulations, Michelle, on your Boston Marathon finish. Well, Michelle, I know that you did Dopey 2 years ago, and you did go on Everest.
I did, yep. So the timing has to be absolutely right, because if you get there too early, the ride isn't open, and if you get there too late, you're not going to have time to finish the race. So the way that we did it is we got there right about 9 o'clock, and we went into the single rider line, and we did actually ride Expedition Everest. So you just have to hit it correctly. Last year I was with some other runners, and we got there about 9:15, and the single rider line was about 15 minutes, and it wasn't a good timing, so we didn't do it. The ride itself is about 3 minutes. If you can jump on the ride, you can definitely add the 3 minutes. We turned off our garments, most of us, and we went on the ride, and it was fabulous, and I know a lot of people have done it. Whether or not you can do it, you have to just decide on your own in terms of your tummy troubles. I happen to love thrill rides, and I go on them all the time. It didn't hurt me at all. We were doing a very slow marathon, taking lots and lots of pictures and things like that. But you can't do it. Mike, I don't think there's any other Disney race that you can ride an attraction in the middle. Is there? Let's think about it.
No
I guess technically at the end of the marathon, you might be able to.
Yeah, the thing is that the parks are closed when we run in the morning.
Yeah. So. And the single rider line in Everest, it's just in the exact right place. You're running right by it.
Well, that's the thing. You have to be running by it. And right. You have to be running by it when it's open.
Right.
And the line has to be just right.
So. Right. So, yeah. So you can keep it on your radar, but I think I would definitely look at your marathon plan and try to get there at about 9 o'clock. And the cast members are great. They'll let you on, and it's fun. And it's definitely something to remember. All right. Trina says, I was catching up on podcasts, and I just finished the bracketology episode. I found it very interesting, especially since I've only run two of the weekends listed, Wine and Dine and Tinkerbell. I'd already planned to run Star Wars weekend, but now also had to add the Disney World weekend too. It will be great fun to compare the experiences. By the way, I also heard the episode on the registration difficulties. I too had issues with registration for Wine and Dine. I jumped on the minute the registration opened. I got locked up on the website twice before I could get through. I was able to secure a spot for me in the half, but I tried to register my daughter for the 5K, and it was already sold out in about 25 minutes. She was heartbroken, and since decided she's not going to make the trip to Walt Disney World at all. Too bad I could not at least register two at a time without having to start at the beginning. Keep up the good work, and you help me feed my Disney running addiction. You know, Mike, this just breaks my heart to hear this, that somebody wanted to run a 5K with her daughter, or the daughter wanted to run the 5K, and Trina's daughter has decided just not to go to the parks. What do you think?
You know, when we had that, we started discussing the issues with registration. I remember Kim had said something about this, and the family sometimes doesn't get everything their way, and it really... really is a shame, because I guess I don't blame her daughter. I don't think I'd want to go. You know, and we've talked about this. If we had issues registering for Walt Disney World weekend, marathon weekend, would we go? I think what this says is that you need more than one device ready to go.
You need it's like a plan of attack. Yeah. You have to have somebody on. I mean, so, even if you have more than one device, it's a lot of information that you have to type in.
Oh, what about several windows open,
But you can only, think of there must be 14 questions that you're answering.
I know.
Are you an annual pass holder? Are you a DVC member? What is your expected time? What is your name? I don't know that I could input that amount of information in two different devices. I don't know. I think it has to be two people.
I think you're right. I think this is one of the, and we talked with Tony about this. This is when you call on your best friend, your spouse, your sibling, your mom, your dad, grandma, your son, your daughter, and you need help. It's very hard for one person to register more than one person.
Mm. It's a shame. It makes me feel bad to hear that.
It's too bad.
You know, I, just as Tony did, I might give a call to Run Disney and just say, look, we had this family thing planned. My daughter wanted to run the 5K. You know, I don't know. It doesn't hurt to ask. You know, the worst that they could say is no, right?
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
We have another question, and it's from Michael Jones. It's a really simple, short question. It says, do any of you have an iPhone 6 Plus, the big one? If so, how do you take it on your runs with you? Well, I have an iPhone 6, but I don't have an iPhone 6 Plus. Let me see. Who do I know that likes and loves Apple products? Michelle, can you think of anyone?
Yes, Michael. I actually, Michael Scopa and Michael Jones, I actually took my iPhone 6 Plus with me running the Boston Marathon. So, Michael, here's what I'm going to recommend to you. The company Spiebelt, S-P-I-B-E-L-T, has different size cases, and they actually sell different size belts, and they actually sell a one that fits the iPhone 6 Plus really well. So I got mine at a Disney Expo, and I just tuck it in there's a pocket, you zip it, and you put the belt around you. For the Boston Marathon, I had it turned around so it was behind me. They didn't take the phone out during the race because it was raining the whole time. But it doesn't bump. It, you know, it stays securely there. I had it actually in a Ziploc bag in my speed belt. And the speed belt costs about $20, and it's well worth it. It's very comfortable, washable. I threw it in the wash after I was done. That's what I would recommend.
Okay. All right. Last question.
Is from Jody Strock, and she says, wasn't there a mention of a meetup or a special event on the podcast? A save the date for the wine and dine. Mike, this is very good timing because we were just talking to Becky Mankin about this.
Yes, we are going to have, Jody, we are going to have a dessert party during Wine and Dine weekend. We will be holding it on the Sunday following the day after the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. So we're going to be running the, I believe, the night of the 7th into the wee hours of the 8th, and we're going to have the dessert party on the 8th. We will be announcing that officially and having a link for people to sign up for that as soon as we can. I would say sometime maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
If you're on the Mickey Milers, you get first shot. If you're on the Mickey Milers running team, if you want to join, you go on the MickeyMilesPodcast.com page and click Join Us. You can join. You have to raise $50 for Give Kids the World, but those folks get the first shot. And last time we had one in January, it filled up very quickly, so you want to get in there. But you get desserts and you get illuminations.
And this is the first dessert party over the last 13 years in which yours truly, Mike Scopa, designed the menu. So yes, I have selected the menu for this one.
Wow.
So if you
complaints can be sent to Mike at Mickey Miles Podcast.
If you love it, Mike at Mickey Miles. But if you don't like it, it's Michelle at Mickey Miles.
We hope you can join us, Jody. It's fun. It's a great way to celebrate. We call it a kind of a bling fest. Wear your bling to the party and celebrate with friends.
And also, we're also working on something for January. So,
Did you say that?
Oh, I did. well, that's it for questions, and we want to thank everyone for sending them in. I think that as we go along, there will be a lot of questions coming out, especially with a lot of new things happening and new races and things like that, new runners. So there's no such thing as a dumb question. So please send them in because it's very important that you get to know as much as you need to know in order to do the race that you want to do. Michelle.
Yeah. Also, sometimes people have great ideas for show topics. So if it's something that we haven't covered that you would like to talk about, we have a bevy of wonderful guests that we can bring on if Mike and I don't know the topic.
Bevy is geese, right? Isn't there a bevy of geese?
I don't know.
Gaggle of geese. Bevy of, I don't know. Okay, so for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying thank you for listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast, and we will see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.